Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Scatter the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for all these many years, 21 years now, we have been bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be looking at the parable of the weeds and the wheat, or the tares and the wheat. And so this is one of the great parables that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the sower, which is a little bit similar, but this one here follows up the parable of the sower with the parable of the weeds and the wheat. And it has a layered meaning to it, has several different interpretations and different meanings. And so we'll get into this here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 24. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on over here in Africa. And as I spoke in the prayer, we're starting on the school construction. Going to be digging the trenches for the footings and foundation this week, laying out the perimeters and all of the string lines and everything. So keep that in your prayer that provision would continue to come. If you have a desire to help us with that project there in Kenya, we're building a primary school for grades 1 through 8, and it's going to be a magnificent school for the local people. It's not going to be a boarding school for Nairobi children. It'll be just for the local people there in Makunda Village, the local students, including our children at the children's home. And so we want to get you involved in that project. Stay tuned to the end of this message and you'll get contact information where you can help get involved in that project and build a great primary school there in Makunda of Kenya. Well, today we're going to be talking about the parable of the weeds among the wheat, or the wheat and the tares, as some translations call it. This is a very deep teaching, and it has multiple layers of interpretation, multiple layers of teaching. And so we're going to get into a couple of them. And I'm going to start reading here in verse 24 in Matthew chapter 13. And so Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, or tares among the wheat, and then they went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" And he answered them and said, "An enemy has done this." And the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather up the tares?" And he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And so this is a very typical and familiar scene in the fields of many Kansas farmers. They prepare the ground, spend all summer following and preparing the ground, and they put the best seed that they can purchase into the ground. Sometimes it's seed that they have raised themselves over many years. They know the genetics. They know how it performs in the cold winters and the hot summers. And so this is a very familiar scene that if you're listening to me today and you are a farmer, you should understand and know that weeds are a common occurrence in the crops of Kansas farmers. I was an organic farmer myself for many years, had some crops that were very weed-free and others where the weeds were a continual bane or a continual thorn in the flesh, a thorn in the side of the farmer. And so the farmer in this picture has planted good seed, done the best he could to raise a good crop, but the weeds come up and the weeds start to then overtake the crop that he has planted. And so the servants come to him and they say, "Farmer, how should we harvest? Should we go ahead and pull up the weed seeds?" And the farmer says, "No, leave the weeds to grow up together with the wheat. Otherwise, when you rip up the weed seeds, you're going to be pulling up good stalks of grain." And so that's very true, especially we have big weeds of pigweed and kochia and some other kinds of weeds here in western Kansas. And when you uproot them and they're right next to a good stalk of grain, you will disrupt the growth of the stalk of grain. Well, so here in verse 36, jump on over there, same chapter, and in this verse 36, Jesus then gives the interpretation for the parable of the weeds. "And then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And he answered, 'Well, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man.'" Well, we understand that. Jesus is the one who scattered the seed in the parable of the sower, and anybody else who speaks the word is scattering the seed in the parable of the sower, and also in this parable, the good seed scattered by Jesus. He says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, or the carriers of the word, and the weeds are the children of the evil one." And so the weeds and the tares, we find out from this explanation, they are the work of the devil. They're carrying the work of the devil. They're carrying the intentions of the devil. They're carrying everything that the devil wants to do in the lives of the believers and in the kingdom of God. And John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come to give you life, and life abundantly." So we have a conflict going on in the world between the good seed, which is the children of the kingdom or the carriers of the word, and the weeds, which is the children of the evil one or of the devil. Verse 39, "And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels." And just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, and you remember back, Jesus said at the time of the harvest, he told the reapers to collect the weeds first. And just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so that speaks of eternal judgment, weeping and gnashing of teeth, the furnace of fire. I'll get into the explanation for that here in just a minute. Then he closes this passage of scripture, verse 43, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." That's a picture of heaven. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let everyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so that is the parable of the weeds and the wheat. And so the explanation given has a double layer meaning, is what I discern from it, what I glean from it. There's a double layer meaning in this great parable. One is there's a final judgment coming at the end of the age. Jesus said, "Let the weeds and let the wheat grow up together." I don't want to disrupt the growing of the kingdom of God, the children of God. I don't want to disrupt their growth. And so I'm going to let the weeds come up with them, and then we'll harvest them all at the end of the age. Well, the righteous and the evil ones exist at the same time in the world, and they exist at the same time, clear until the end of the age, until a couple of events happen. Number one, the righteous will be taken out of this world at the time of the rapture. If you look in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, this will be the harvest of the majority of the children of God. This will be the harvest that takes the children of God out of the field, out of the field of the world, and it puts them in the heavenly realm. It puts them with Jesus Christ, and they will shine like the sun. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is the Apostle Paul teaching the children of Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonica. He's saying that when Jesus comes back first time, he's not coming back to dwell on the earth. He's going to catch up the church, catch them out of this world, and take them to heaven with him. And so this is called the rapture, or the catching away. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The trumpet signifies a calling to battle, or a calling to formation. When the trumpet sounds, Jesus is calling the people of the church, come out, come out. And so he is making it possible for them to come out of the world and to go with him for all eternity, first to heaven. Then they will come back with him, Revelation chapter 20. They will come back with him, and they will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and then for all eternity after that. Verse 17, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall forever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is, first ones to go are those that have already died, and their resurrection bodies will be caught up with the Lord and taken to heaven with him. Then those of us, if Jesus were to come back tonight for the rapture, to rapture the church out, then those of us who are alive and remain will then be caught up after those who have already died are caught up. Then those who are alive and remain, we will be caught up with the Lord along with those who precede us, and we will all be taken to heaven, sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then prepare for ruling and reigning with Jesus for all eternity. Well, that is what happens. The harvest, you would say, that is what happens to those who are children of God, to those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord, to those who are committed and have confessed Jesus as Lord, spoken his name, said, Lord, I want to serve you. And they have been baptized, they're born again, and so they are in the kingdom of God. They are a child of God for all eternity. Well, the final judgment for the tares happens only on the other side of the coin. It's a final judgment for all eternity for those who never accepted Jesus, for those who never submitted themselves to his lordship, for those who never submitted themselves to his leadership. And so in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, this is the picture of the parable of the tares and the wheat. This is a picture of the wicked, or the tares, being pulled up, bundled up, and put into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and all were judged according to what they had done, as that is what they had done in terms of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. What did they do regarding Jesus in their life? And beloved, this is a teaching for you as well. If you're listening to me today and you've never made a decision about Jesus Christ, you've never confessed Him as your Lord, you don't know where you stand with Him, if you're making no decision today, that is your decision, that you're saying, Jesus, I don't believe You went to the cross. I don't believe You shed Your perfect, precious blood to die for my sin, to cover my sin. That is your decision today if you make no decision. If you want to confess your sins today, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, say, Jesus, I want to submit my life to You, then that is the decision that will put you in eternity with the Lord Jesus. And so back to the, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name is not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And so when you confess Jesus as your Lord, when you say, yes, Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You went to the cross and You died on the cross for me. You shed Your precious blood for me. Your name then, when you make your confession, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and it is brought up. Your name will be found in the book of life, and you will not be thrown into the lake of fire. You will not stand before the great white throne judgment. That's what this judgment is called. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11, the great white throne judgment. You will not be a participant in that judgment. This judgment is only for unbelievers, for people who denied Jesus as their Lord, people who never confessed His name, and so therefore their names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So let me repeat Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life or the Lamb's book of life was thrown into that lake of fire. Well, back to the original deeper meaning of the parable of the tares and wheat. This is the judgment at the end of the age. The church people, the children of God, are taken off the earth in the rapture. Even those who have died and been dead for many, many years, maybe many centuries, they're also taken up, their resurrection bodies. And so that is the judgment on them. They are judged righteous in the eyes of God. They're taken to heaven. The wicked are then taken into the lake of fire, put into the lake of fire, along with death and Hades and all of those who never confessed Jesus. Their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so that is where the wicked go. The tares are bundled up and they are thrown into the lake of fire, just as we heard in the parable. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, beloved, I hope that's not you. I hope you have confessed Jesus as your Lord. If you never have, you need to pray about your place in God's kingdom. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today and saying, get right with the Lord, submit to Him, submit to His leadership and His lordship in your life, confess your sins, turn from your wicked ways. If that is you today, then you are on the right path. You can do it right there in your home today. You can sit there in your chair and confess your sins to Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, I want You to come into my heart, come into my life. Lead me and guide me and direct me. And then the eternal condemnation, the eternal judgment is off of you, and you are now judged as a child of the living God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you're not unique if you've sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God has a plan for your life. He wants to redeem you. He wants to call you His own. He wants to call you a child of God. And so you can get in right standing with Him. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is this, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Well, the second meaning of the parable of the wheat and the tares is this: evil and good can exist within each one of us every day of our life. And so the battle and the conflict between evil and good, between the tares and the good grain, the good stalks of grain, it exists and is a battle that each of us deal with each and every day of our life. I'm going to refer to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery, into sin." This is the Apostle Paul speaking, who wrote 13 books of the Bible. He said, "I have been sold into slavery, into sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate." Well, I think everybody can relate to that. You strive and you try your best to live a good, righteous life. Even for those who have been Christians for many years, there's always a battle going on in your mind and in your heart. The devil is trying to, the best he can, take you away from the kingdom of God, pull you away from your destiny. The devil will always speak to you, tempting you and taking you away from your calling. And so this battle goes on until the day that we die. This battle between good and evil, between the tares and the good wheat, goes on in our individual lives until the day that we die. So Paul says, "I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." And verse 17, "But in fact, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For the wages of sin is death." This is Romans 6:23, what I just spoke a minute ago. "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So that's the battle between good and evil. It will go on in your life all the rest of your life until the day that you die. And what you have to do is cling to Jesus. What we have to do is cling to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, the guiding light, the guiding word, the guiding voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. And verse 19, Paul goes on to say, "For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Verse 20, "Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me." And so the burning question from all of that is, how do we deal with sin in our life? How do we deal with that overpowering temptation sometimes that we think we can't stand up against it, we can't defeat it in our life? Paul goes on to deal with this, verse 23 in Romans chapter 7. "I see in my members," that is in his fleshly members, "another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so Jesus Christ is the one, the only one, who can rescue us from this unrighteousness, who can rescue us from temptation, who can rescue us from the evil one, the plans of the evil one, the schemes of the evil one. And the Apostle Paul was dealing with this just like you and me. He was a man of God, had been trained up in study of the scriptures, and he was a man of God, but he met Jesus Christ out on the road to Damascus, and everything in his life changed. Everything in his life was shaken, and he spent 3 days in blindness, contemplating, meditating. God was showing him what he must do to suffer for the Lord's sake. God was showing him how he was going to lead him and the suffering that he must endure to become a child of the living God. And yet Paul chose it because he was tired of the torment. He was tired of the conflict, the battle, and he knew Jesus Christ was the source for his peace, was the source for his contentment, his fulfillment, and also for his destiny. God showed him that this is what he must do, to suffer for the Lord's sake. Well, Paul says, "Wretched man that I am," but I tell you, if you meet Paul in heaven when you get there, he will not talk about how wretched he is. He will say, "By the grace of God, by the mercy of God, I'm here with the Lord Jesus for all eternity. By God's grace and his plan and his calling on my life, and I said yes to that calling, that I am here with the Lord Jesus for all eternity." Beloved, you can be there as well. You can know the Lord Jesus for all eternity. Wretched person that you are, God has a plan for your life. All you have to do is say yes to the Lord, and God will unveil that plan to you. He will reveal it to you, and he will lead you. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will see it come to pass. He will lead you every step of the way. He will guide you, and you will know that you are on the right path. You will have peace that passes all understanding, and you will have fulfillment, and you will be walking in your destiny as a child of the living God. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that, all the many years that we have been on the radio. We hope you enjoy these messages. We need your support to keep these messages going, and we need your support to get that school built in Africa. We hope you come alongside and help us with that project. Help us get these children in Makunda Village in Kenya a good primary school to go to. You can contact us at Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can also check us out on Facebook and see some pictures of the ministry there. If you have a debit or credit card, you want to make a donation that way, go to paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. That's paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. You can use your debit or your credit card there and make a donation. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down today. Drop us a note. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.